Please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse number 14. Matthew 6, 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This evening we're going to be looking at three areas in our lives that require us to live by faith. And the three areas we're going to be looking at is the first area is the area of forgiveness. The second area is going to be in the area of fasting. And the third area is the area of finances. Verses 14 and 15 speak of forgiveness. And you say, you know, Pastor John, it seems like there's been a lot of talk of forgiveness lately at Mequonago Baptist Church. You know, there was message on bitterness by Matt Weber. 2 weeks ago, we didn't talk about it much, but verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Seems like my dad mentioned it in his sermon. Maybe it wasn't a main topic, but forgiveness. Well, here Christ chose to speak about it again after the Lord's Prayer in verses 14 and verse 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Boy, think about that. Our relationship with God, that daily walk with God, is really hinged on how we forgive others. But if we really put it into context, you know, how little we have to forgive compared to how much God has forgiven us. One author stated, once our eyes have been opened to see the enormity of our offense against God, the injuries which others have done to us appear by comparison extremely trifling. If, on the other hand, we have an exaggerated view of the offenses of others, it proves that we have minimized our own. How do you view the offenses of others? Have you enlarged others? You know, we've got the thing up here that, you know, can take a little computer screen and blow it up. You know, and sometimes that we do that with other people's sins. I can't remember the exact quote now, so maybe I shouldn't say it, but it talked about how we, many times the faults of others are like headlights of an approaching car. They always seem brighter than our own. And that's how it is many times with sin. You know, if we are focused on what others are doing, we're going to forget really what we have done. And it is so important in our relationship with God. And here, after he had just finished the Lord's Prayer, even in our prayer life, if we're going to be effective in our prayers, that we are people that have learned to forgive. You say, you know, it just doesn't seem like I'm getting any answers to my prayer. Well, maybe your relationship with God is wrong, is not there. You're not right with God because you're not right with others. And there's others that you need to there's maybe trespasses that you need to just let go so you can have that right relationship with God. You know, in your home, if you want a home that is in tune with God, the words, "I forgive you," ought to be said easily and freely. "I forgive you" should be normal words in a Christian home. You might say, "But if you only knew, it's always me that has to forgive. It seems like I'm the one that always has to forgive." Well, maybe think of it this way. Think of somebody who owed someone else $1 million. And it was a one-time thing. They borrowed $1 million and they couldn't pay it back. Maybe they made a bad investment with the money and they lost it all. They're like, "I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to pay you that money." And they're like, "I forgive you." And they're like, "You know what? It'll never happen again. Let me rest assured, it will never happen again." And you know what? You never again, lose $1 million of someone else's money. But maybe after that, for the next 100 years, somebody borrows 5 cents from you every day. And the next day, they come to you and you say, "I'm sorry, I lost the 5 cents. Or I spent it on something and I just don't have any 5 cents to spare." And every single day for the next 100 years, you have to first, "I forgive you." Over and over and over. You know, after 100 years, 5 cents would be $1,825. Less than 0.2% of the $1 million. You know, that's kind of how it is with us in the Lord. We've got this little teeny bit, and maybe every single day you've got to forgive somebody for something. But compared to the huge weight and debt of sin that He has forgiven us for all eternity, it's minuscule. So if you say, "But if you only knew, it's always me that has to forgive." Well, you know, what an amazing truth that God is willing to forgive us. He's willing to have that, to have a right relation, to have that relationship with us if we will simply forgive others. It says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And if we are going to keep that daily relationship with God, those lines of communication open, it is so important that we learn to forgive. You know, it doesn't matter what we think. By faith, we need to say, "You know what? I forgive that person." It doesn't matter if we think, "You know what? Tomorrow they're probably going to do the same thing against me." By faith, we need to say, "You know what? My relationship with God is important. And I am going to forgive." The second area we see here is the area of fasting. You know, in today our problem is probably not that we, is probably not about maybe as much, really today our biggest problem is that we don't fast. Probably our biggest problem is that we don't fast, but then when we do, we want others to know about it. Or we want at least somebody to know that what we did. And here we really, the problem of living for the praise of man rather than for the glory of God. In a day and age in which man is exalted, we need to be careful to put the attention always on God. What if no one shows appreciation for what you are doing? Will you still do it? You know, maybe there's some area in the church that you've cleaned for ages and ages, and you think, "You know what? Church cleaning," and you come there, and it's, and you look at it, and you go, "Oh, no one else cleaned it again. I'm the only one." And you know what? Maybe no one else knows about it. But maybe after a time, there's just this attitude that festers in your heart. No one else. Why won't no one else? You know, It's on the list, but I just, you know, or maybe it's not on the list. Just get this attitude. Well, what are we living for? You're living for the praise of man if he begins to develop a bad attitude. You know, God knows, he sees, and who are we seeking to please? Is it man or is it God? You know, and here he says, if you fast, don't make it look like you fast. Go about your day as normal. You know, maybe five times that morning, boy, am I hungry, you know, and well, why are you hungry, you know, and, you know, or we come up with certain things to kind of give some hints about what we've done. and you know, you keep wearing that pair of pants at church that the knees are wearing out on, just hoping that somebody will figure out, you know, maybe what you've been doing. And obviously it's great that you've been praying, but what's the big problem is that you're wiping out, so to speak, all the good that you're doing by looking for the praise of man. And so you might have been, all the real meaningful time spent is, so to speak, wasted because you've done it for the wrong reason. Now, unfortunately, probably the biggest problem is that we don't do it. But then the problem is when we do begin to do it, many times we do it for the wrong reason. And God wants us to do it, but he wants us to do it for him. We need to do it by faith. Hey, God sees, God knows. You might be the only one doing right. And you might be tempted to quit. But you know what? God knows you're doing right. And you need to do right even if you're the only one that's doing it. In 3 John chapter 9, it talks about Diotrephes, how he what? He loves to have the preeminence. But Colossians 1:18 says that in all things he, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. And in your serving the Lord, are you seeking to have the preeminence? Are you seeking for the praise and accolades of men to come upon you? Or are you seeking to direct all the attention to God? We must serve by faith. Then we see another area here that we need to live by faith, in the area of finances. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. One of the areas you can see that, you know, was important maybe in this culture was the area of clothing. It talks where moth doth corrupt. You know, if you have some kind of metal that you're holding on to, you're probably not maybe as worried, unless there's something I don't know about, but you're probably not as worried about moth eating it. Okay, but if you have a special precious garment, you may have to be concerned about moths eating it. And back, you know, garments at one time were what? There still can be very valuable garments that you can have. But we live in a society in which there's clothing all over the place. And yes, people still pay, if you're in maybe the elite class, you know, you've got to pay so much money for a piece of clothing just so you can kind of have a status symbol. And there's still that, but maybe not as valuable as it was back then. So what do you treasure in your life? What is valuable to you? Treasure. What's valuable to you? For some people, their time is extremely valuable. Obviously, all of us, our time ought to be valuable. There may be something else that's very valuable to you. And here, one of the specific things is, you know, your treasure, where thieves break through and steal. It's something here that can be taken from you. Something that really is in a temporal context. What are we doing with those things that we own that are valuable to us? You know, where we put those things that are valuable is going to determine where our heart is. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now think of the Apostle Paul. Where did he put his treasure? He put in the Lord's work, didn't he? He put in the Lord's work. He spent his life. He spent his time. He spent his money that he earned. He invested in the Lord's work. You know, what was valuable to him? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, for ye are our what? Our glory and joy, our crown of rejoicing. You know, when he stood before God someday, those people, when Christ came back, those people that he had seen saved were going to be his crown of rejoicing. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it gives us maybe just some practical ways of laying up treasure in heaven. Here it talks about people that have money. It shows how they can lay up treasures in heaven. It's verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So they have this money that God has blessed them with, and they need to use it. They need to give it. They need to allow it to be used for God, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You know, the first one is that they do good. Do we constantly have eternal life in front of us? Are we proving through the use of our resources that we are living for a different world? You know, by faith, do we step out and take the resources that God has placed in our control and use them for the furtherance of God's work? You know, you can take, Thomas gave some good advice on finances tonight, and you can do that with the idea of, you know, someday I want to be able to have this, you know, great home so I can sit back in my recliner and, you know, enjoy, I don't know, sitting there doing whatever, okay? You know, reading a book or doing something else. You know, whatever you enjoy doing. Or you can set that money aside saying, you know what? God wants to do something with my life. You know, you can either foolishly spend that money or you can save it with the intention of what? Someday I want to use this to serve God. I want to be able to be in a position that I can support missions. I want to be in a position that I can do these things. And obviously you have to be careful along the way, because money can enslave us, you know, so easily. And if we aren't, what's interesting maybe about Matthew chapter 6 is that it's in the present. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't just say, in the future, if this money grows to $1 million, then I'm going to do it. No, it's a present state of our lives that we are to be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now, obviously, the book of Proverbs teaches wisdom. You know, the ant, she prepares for the future. But as we're preparing for the future, we also need to be what? Serving God now. You know, and if we're not serving God now with the finances, with the resources God has given us, don't expect that you're ever going to serve God in the future. And so it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's not something that you wait to do sometime in the future, but it's something that God wants you to be presently doing right now. In fact, it is a command. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In heaven. You know, when you put those treasures in God's saving account, guess what? You're never going to lose it. You're never going to lose it to inflation. You're never going to lose it to a robber. You're never going to lose it to a natural catastrophe. It's always going to be 100% secure. Far greater than something that's FDIC insured. You know, this investment is 100% guaranteed. Imagine that. We have an investment that's 100% guaranteed. You know, and it's something that we are to continually be doing. It's something that we are to be doing right now. You know, young person, are you laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven? It doesn't say lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven if you're over 18. All right, this is for everybody. God wants you right now in the present to be laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Taking the resources that he has given you and living for him. You know, you might have a talent, but you've been wasting it. You haven't been developing it. You might have, you know, that $10, young person, that was given for your birthday. You're going to waste it, or you're going to learn to give, to save, to have a purpose that, you know what, my resources are going to be used for the Lord's work. Laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, this is not something that's optional, but it's something that every believer must accomplish, must daily do, laying up for themselves treasures in heaven. I wonder tonight, where have you made your greatest investments? Where are you putting your greatest investments? Do you do right whether you are recognized or not? Are there any people that you have not freed in your life? Are there people that you're holding on to? Boy, if they don't do this, I'm not going to let them go. Well, guess what? If there is that in any way in your life tonight, you do not have a right relationship with God. And you're missing out on the great blessing of his forgiveness because of that little thing that you're not willing to let go of. By faith tonight, you need to give that to the Lord. By faith tonight, you need to give that thing that you've been holding on to for yourself and invest in something that will last for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. To treasure, Lord, a relationship with you. And Lord, as the devil tonight would want us to hold on to those things, those negative attitudes, those offenses that others have done to us. Lord, you want us to forgive. Lord, I pray by your grace tonight that if someone's holding on to something tonight, Lord, that they would tonight let go of it and enjoy the freedom of having, Lord, a right relationship with you as they have that right relationship, as they give, let those things go that they have against someone else. Lord, may we learn to always live for your honor and glory. May we walk in humility. And Lord, in a day and age in which we have been given so much, Lord, may you help us
to give those treasures to you, to invest in things that will last for eternity. And Lord, I thank you tonight for so many that have invested in spiritual causes in this ministry. But yet, Lord, how much more we have yet to give. Lord, help us to see the great value of investing in eternity. Lord, may you use your word to accomplish your will in each one of our lives tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.